Good morning.
Morning.
Grateful to God to be here. It's wonderful to hear all the wonderful things that's going on here at Granada Hills Community Church. First and foremost, let's put our hands together for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thank Him for His. Yeah. Coming to visit GHCC, it's always like a homecoming, seeing the church family. And it's wonderful to see a community church being just that. Eugene, Pastor Eugene, grateful for you, my brother. Grateful for Kathy and Ron, and grateful for you. And just as I'm sitting here and praying with you, so wonderful to know that salvation is of the Lord. And at the same time, we're invited to participate. And so just by way of encouragement, to know that y'all are planting gospel seeds. Through 818, through support of Open Arms Ministry, through reaching out to your loved ones, and to see those flowers go from here to there, and sooner or later, there may be a red one pop up here and there. And by a show of hands, who here had somebody share the gospel with them, and the Lord moved you to salvation? We got a few in here, right? So be encouraged, keep planting those seeds, and who knows what'll pop up. My goodness. Grateful to God to be here so much. I often sit and reflect and listen and watching our dear brother, and his name is escaping me. His wife was just here a while ago holding up his grandson, talking about the love of God and Jesus. Stephen, forgive me. And to know that Jesus, God the Son, was offered up for us. And I love my kids, and they can cut up, and there are times where, woof. But to know that that's how our Father in heaven loves us, that He gave His Son for our salvation. That's a wonderful love. And so if you don't remember anything else, that I've been here talking a little bit about Jesus Christ. Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday and reflect on Jesus entering into Jerusalem, wisdom, real wisdom in bodily form, is most highest represented in the life and in the person of Jesus Christ. Full stop. Years ago, they used to have that slogan. They may do it now, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And then some folks kind of thought about it a little bit more, and they changed it to WDJD, what did Jesus do? But the whole focus was focusing on Christ and trying to gain wisdom to face whatever situation you're facing. I'm grateful to be here with you, and even thinking about the subject this morning, getting into principles from Proverbs, I'm showing how old I am, long before GPS, long before Google Maps and Apple Maps, we used to have to take a little guide. Some of y'all know about it, right? And to map your course where you were going across state. And if you're driving cross country, some of you may remember going to AAA. And they would, there you go, there were those triptychs, right? And literally, that was your guide to help take you from here to there. Now today, you can punch in on a phone, get the directions. It'll even map traffic to help you identify where you are and where you need to go. God's wisdom, God's essence, his divine order. He created the world, and in Proverbs we're going to see this, by wisdom. And wisdom is certainly something that comes from God, and God is so generous that by faith in Christ we can go to God and actually ask for wisdom. Because certainly of all the people in the world, there is one who knows where we are and where we need to go. Wisdom can be for practical purposes with decisions, to understand what he has given to you and I in terms of knowledge in this life, and then how to apply it. But not just practically, even spiritually, as it is, how do we relate to this eternal, all-wise, all-knowing, omnipotent God perfect in all his ways. He's not like us, yet through Christ he has come down to us and revealed himself to us that we would have a relationship with him. Wisdom, chokmah, God has all wisdom. And in an age where things just quite frankly seem quite crazy, does anyone here need some wisdom? You're not alone. So, as the late Don Senoukian used to say, the task of the preacher, I'm here as a recipient as well. As we pray, we're seeking, what does God have to say to us? I put myself in that group. What does he have to say to us? So let's pray and invite him in. You have the scriptures there in your worship bulletin. And we'll look at these principles from Proverbs 3, wisdom, trust, and ethical living. Gracious God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our times are in your hands. We thank you that by your wisdom you created the worlds themselves. We thank you that you who are our creator saw our greatest need and you prepared even from eternity past that Christ would come to die for our sins, and 3 days later would rise again with all power. We're grateful that you have not left us alone in this world, but by your Holy Spirit, you lead and guide us. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so you have the scriptures there. We're going to read through the whole chapter, and then we're going to circle back, and you'll see a certain outline overhead. And as you turn there, or if you're looking for it, let me say this about the word principle itself. God's word is true, and it's always true. If it was true 1,000 years ago, it's true today, and it's also going to be true eternally. And principles are things that we see from Scripture that are true about what God has said, and it doesn't change. Let me give you an example. The law of gravity. Would you say that the law of gravity is true in New Jersey as well as it is in California? What goes up must come down. That's always true. So when the Bible says you reap what you sow, that's true as well. There are many other principles in Scripture. And so Solomon, being one of the authors of Proverbs, and there's others, authors, Hezekiah had writings and many others, speaks in a fatherly way to his son, and God's word on his lips share these words. And so I begin at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but have your heart comply with my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, familiar verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. You can read it with me. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his rebuke. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. Blessed is a person who finds wisdom and one who obtains understanding. For a prophet is better than the prophet of silver, and her produce better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold on to her. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the ocean depths were burst open, and the clouds dripped with dew. My son, see that you do not escape, see that they do not escape from your sight. Comply with sound wisdom and discretion. and they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Hang in there. Don't get that sleep right now. I know it's a lot of verses, but hang in there. Verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden danger, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it to you when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a person or for no reason if he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent person, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the needy. The wise will inherit honor, but fools increase dishonor. God's word. So if you take notes, and you may want to look at that, these scriptures can be broken up in the sense of looking at blocks of it in a number of ways. And this is just one example. First section looking at trust and obedience towards God, verses 1 through 12. Second section there, the value of wisdom, verses 13 through 20. Security in wisdom, verses 21 to 26. And ethical living, verses 27 through 35. And when we think of ethics, what is right in the sight of God? What is not right in his sight? Not based on man's wisdom, but based off of his. And so we're going to look at each of these. And if you take notes, you might want to do that. And in addition to this time of walking through scripture, I hope that you're praying about how might I apply this in my relationship first and foremost to God? And then how do I apply this in my relationships with my family, co-workers, neighbors, maybe even those in which I have conflict? God has wisdom for us all. Let's look at this first one, trust and obedience. God's word was to call them to remember and to internalize God's truth for lasting peace. Do not forget my teachings. Let your heart keep my commandments. There's a call to wholeheartedly hold on to God's word. We were having conversations at the beginning of our service and enjoy it. And once someone said that God's word doesn't change. So there's a sense we can return over and over to the scriptures. I've heard this scripture so many times, but I could tell you at 54, I need it as much now as I did when I was 24 or 14. And God's word and his wisdom is so different from man's. Man's comes and it goes. And so the writer says that not forget it, not to let it go by, but let your heart keep his commands. There is the call and the command to hold to God's word. And there's a blessing with it. Length of days, years of life, and peace be added. Who wants to live long and have peace at the same time? Amen. That is not to say that all of life will be sunshine and rainbows, but generally by following, obeying God, life tends to go a whole lot better. The opposite is true as well. They used to have a TV show called, I'm trying to remember what was the name of it. It was something like, it was related to people who were getting caught in crimes. It was like crime dummies or something like that. Was it cops? I forget. Maybe that was it. But they had a videotape of cars that were being stolen, and they had this one decoy car. It was a fake car. And there was a camera there, and literally they would place this car in different places, and they had a stream of robberies that they were recording. And you could hear the guys as they get in the car, oh, yeah, I'm about to get. And then all of a sudden they would turn on the car, and then all of a sudden the car would stop. it would lock, and then they would be stuck, and then you would see police come and drag the person out. And I have to remember, And so I was watching this show over and over, and every time you would hear the guys that were talking, some of them were like, yeah, I can't wait to do this. I'm going to sell this. Oh, no. And then there was one person. I'm going somewhere with this example. He's doing it, and he's like, you know what? I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, my mom told me to do it. And then all of a sudden, when it locks, you hear him in a way starting to confess in his heart, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Let me get it. He's actually praying to get out of it. Why am I saying this? The opposite of wisdom is folly and foolishness. And in that moment, that gentleman was stating some things that he knew he shouldn't be doing this. And now he's dealing with the repercussion of not following God's commands. And not to beat up on that guy. Have you ever said or did something that you regretted? Your temper was getting really high, and you decided to give them a piece of your. And once you got it out, could you get it back? And but when you reflected back, you recall the Bible and wisdom scripture says a calm word turneth away, but a harsh word stirs it up. Oh, man. Oh, I should have followed God's word. James said something about the tongue, didn't he? So God's wisdom should be kept at heart. And that's just one example where it has practical implications of how we relate to people and most of all, how we relate to God. So the proverb tells him here, hold on to it. Hold on to it wholeheartedly. And the benefit of doing that, you and I can experience length of days and peace. Peace is a wonderful thing. I could camp out there for a long time, but I won't. Having peace with God and peace as best as you can with others is a treasure. The opposite is a blight. But then in this first part, in terms of trust and obedience, honoring God with the first fruits of one's wealth, verse 9 and 10, who is the one that gives us the ability to earn? God does. And for the ancient Israelite who was planting those crops, and I don't know if there are any farmers in here, there's a sense of dependency when you know that you can't make this stuff grow. And so for God to grow it, and then from that first fruits to come back and say, God, I want to say thank you for providing for us. Here's what you deserve because it's all yours anyway. Now, most of us are not farmers here, but when we get that direct deposit or that check or what have you, we can pause and say, wait a minute, I didn't get here by myself. God provided. And as an expression of gratitude, give back. We heard that earlier today, which, by the way, sometimes giving can go beyond even the material things. Years ago, I had the privilege of doing some relief and development work in Africa, and there was a story told about a church that they were a mission site, and they stopped getting their funding. And so the church in Africa, I think it was either Madagascar or maybe it was in Kenya, I forget where, they said, well, we've lost our funding. What are we going to do now? And the minister that preached, he says, God is still our provider. And when we offer up our offerings, let's give to God our whole self. And so there were people who came, said, I don't have money, but I have this extra bag of beans. So that was in the offering. Someone had some oil. That was in the offering. Someone had flour. Someone who was blessed with a raise gave. Everybody started to give what they had. And the church there that was impoverished by our standards found that they had a lot more than they realized. And then some people even brought livestock. I don't have anything, but you got these extra chicken and extra goats. And so they had eventually, as they started to take hold of seeing that God is their provider, he gave them greater insight as to what he actually provided. And then one gentleman said, I don't have anything. So he went up there and actually sat in the offering. He said, whatever God wants me to do. And know what that church did? This is a true story. They got together their resources. They appointed that gentleman to help out giving out compassionately so that he was basically like a deacon in training, and he was the one that went to give to those who had less. The wisdom of God. It wasn't something written down, but they gave to him their first fruits, and God gave to them the wisdom to know what to do with it. And so when I hear about 818, I'm a hospital chaplain, and I work with people who often don't go to church. But the stories I hear when they are experiencing trouble and trauma, and they meet Christians who show them the love of God. You know, I was about to take my life, but I went to that church over there, and there were some nice people. I live alone. I haven't been hugged in 3 months. And somebody said, hey, we're glad you're here. I'm going to go to that men's group or that women's group. And you never know what God will use as you honor him, including first fruits. What a good God we serve. Amen. What a loving God. So we can embrace this Father who does correct us. Verses 11 and 12 says these words, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his rebuke. For whom the Father loves, he disciplines, just as the Father disciplines the Son in whom he delights. One way the Father shows his love for us is he will either correct us, which can include punishment, or instruction. Don't go this way, go that way. And this is an aspect of the love of the Father. In the New Testament, it speaks to this as well. But we can embrace this, that, wait a minute, maybe there's something I'm missing here. And God can provide wisdom in that way too. And sometimes it's better to learn by others' examples than having to experience it yourself. I have friends who have served time. I don't plan to go there. I learn from their lessons. I may visit and pray as a chaplain, but I personally, that's you know, unless I'm called to, you know, lead a Bible study. But I say that to say that we can learn something. For example, we can learn to be grateful for health, the ability to breathe, and express the gratitude of God's goodness than having to walk a hospital hallway and see people ventilated all day and all night. Oh, forgive me, Father, for complaining. He may be correcting that complaint. Be grateful, Charles. Be grateful. That next cheeseburger you eat, be grateful you have the teeth to do it. He does discipline us for complaining sometimes. So, just a thought. The supreme value of wisdom. This wisdom is a blessing from God that's better than riches, offers us peace and life. Verses 13 through 18 describe it. Blessed or happy is the man that finds wisdom, has understanding, more profitable than silver, than gold, jewels. Her ways are pleasant, her paths are peace. Wisdom in the Proverbs is personified as this wonderful woman that provides a bounty. Just imagine going to the best potluck in the world. God's wisdom for us is priceless. It's wonderful. And it's his gift to us. And then you see in verse 19 through 20, this really majestic view of God. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Let's just pause for a moment. People study planets and nature and just, I don't know I'm a bit of a nerd, but sometimes I watch these nature shows. And you'll see animals in the wild, and sometimes they have more sense than human beings. Elephants will walk together as a family, and when the lions come, the adults will put the kids in the middle, and they'll kind of fight away the lions. They move in seasons. Years ago, I did a bit of scuba diving and just watching the sea lions. You see across creation a sense of order, a sense of beauty, a sense that, wait a minute, this isn't all by chance. an intelligent, all-wise, all-knowing creator set it all in motion. And it'd be a wise thing to do it his way. And so the proverb is hearkening back that this very thing that we need in this life comes from God, and he set things in order. My favorite book in the Bible is Job. Job, but we're talking about Proverbs. And much of Job is a conversation among men trying to figure things out on their own. Job doesn't understand why he's suffering. His friends don't understand. And they had a formulaic view of God and the world. You do good, you'll be blessed. You do bad, you're cursed. Job, all this bad thing is happening to you. You must be. Job was like, wait a minute. I've been doing right. And so Job's friends indicted Job for evil because they were going off of their wisdom. And then Job took it a step further. He's like, he indicted God. He's like, I'm doing all these things right, but I'm suffering. And then God sets all of them straight. And if you love to read, I hope you love to read the last 3-4 chapters of Job. And God says some powerful things about himself that will cause us to worship. He says, Job, gird up your loins like a man. You have some questions for me. I have some questions for you. This is in the medicine cabinet for Charles. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Can you answer that? Can you go where the beginning of light is? Can you go to the storehouses of snow? Look at nature. Can you take that Leviathan? Later on, they're going to call them dinosaurs. But can you grab that by the horn? He goes through all these things and creations that God in his infinite wisdom has made and done that we cannot fathom. He said, Job, can you answer that? And Job, in all his pain and his indictments against God, I know it's a long illustration, he says, I put my hand over my mouth. And I repent. And God blessed Job. And then God turned and set his friend straight. He said, y'all did not represent me. But you go to your friend Job and he'll pray for you. The book causes us to turn to God. In our joy, when we have all that wealth like Job, and we're doing pretty good comparatively. But also in our pain. I don't understand this, God, but I trust you. Job got to that. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his name. So wisdom played a primary role in the founding of the earth itself. A key verse there, she's a tree of life to those who lay hold of it. So in your time with God, in your time in the Word, and as we're talking about these things, it's my prayer that we're not just talking about God, but in Christ Jesus, you have a conversation. There you go, with God. That when you leave this place, or you start off your day, or you're going to work, or you're on that 405 freeway, God, give me wisdom for what you would have me to do and say. And thank you, Jesus, for coming to bring it. And then, as we go on, there's security and wisdom. Verses 21 to 26. Security, safety, and confidence for daily life. The sun rises, or we see it in the east and set in the west. God has order for his creation. And he has order for our life. And that abiding trust allows us to be recipients of his sound wisdom and discretion for our soul. Verse 22. There will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. there is a sense as we abide in God's word and we strive to obey it, that his presence, his power enables us to have confidence, not arrogance, but confidence looks up to God. I'm going to trust God about this. So whether it be you're applying yourself working hard or applying yourself loving hard in family, you have a sense that you're abiding in what God wants you to do, even in unstable times. I fly quite a bit, and if you've ever been on a plane in major turbulence, there's two different captains you might hear. Now, the one you don't want to hear is the captain gets on and says, whoa. That's the one you don't want, because they don't sound too confident. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going somewhere with that example. But then there's one, this is your captain speaking. We just need you to buckle up and apologize. We got a little bit of turbulence, as if they can control the weather, right? They may say, we're going to go up a bit to see if we get clearer air. But in the meantime, just sit back, relax. We're going to be all right. We're on track to be on where we're supposed to be. That one that sounds confident and seems to be adept with what they're doing and has shown some character, you may feel a bit more confident. The God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and living God, Jesus Christ, the commander of the armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, has been with us at the start of our flight in life and birth. He has been with us through turbulent times. And he has not left his command one bit. Our God never sleeps and never slumbers. This is what I tell myself. So when you pick up your Bible, this is your captain speaking. Not Charles, but his word for you and me. And you can place your trust in him and let him lead you through turbulent times. There's great confidence we can have in God. I don't know what kind of work you may do. You may find yourself in a board meeting and a decision might be made that is patently wrong. And it may cause you to have to disagree with somebody who may can affect the trajectory of your career. Right at that moment, you have a choice. Who will you put your confidence in? I think I'll trust God. And you can speak humbly the truth in love. And who knows how God would use that in your life? I want to testify a little bit here. I'll never forget in an ethics committee. This is at a hospital I was working. There was a gentleman that had been on life support for about 4 to 6 months. They could not locate his family. He was undergoing major treatment to keep him alive, and there was some, and it escalated up to chief of staff where they call the ethics committee. The physicians are there, the current nurses working with, they call in chaplaincy, social work, and if they could find any family member to speak up on what medical decisions was going to be made for a person who could not make it for themselves. And I'll never forget this one physician, maybe two, that were pushing end of life, end of life, end of life, end of life. Oh, basically just wanting to yank and pull the plug. And then there were a few of us in that meeting like, well, one, we haven't done enough to find family. We can do more to find. Two, we don't have that right to make that decision. That's, in my mind, I'm about to have a church service ready. It's God's right. But I had a fancy way of trying to say, you know, these are decisions that are beyond us. And three, there were a few of us that decided that we were going to make a double effort to find out who his family was. And God is so good, and this is testifying really to him, not a bragamony testimony. Two things happened. One, we were able to find his daughter. And two, about a month later, he actually came through. He woke up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he was struggling to talk, and the one name he came out with was Kelly. That was the name of his daughter. So we collected the information. We found the different homes he was living in. And somehow, by God's grace, pieced together where his daughter was, which was up in Santa Barbara. And when it all came out, she was so happy. One, that she reconnected with her father. He was happy to be alive. And just to think that God's wisdom is available to us when we don't know what to do. And hear it from a preacher. There are times where I don't know what to do. But God does. And his wisdom is available to us. Verse 26, the Lord will be your confidence. I praise God. And I may say this in the getaway. There's some times where the Lord comes through where I'm like, you know what? That was Jesus. I didn't have that answer, but he did. Seek God for your wisdom. Last slide, and we're almost through, second to last. Ethical imperatives. Do good promptly. Verse 27 and 28. Act when you have the means. Scripture talks about do not withhold good when it's in your power to do it. Do it immediately. So that could be something as simple as pay your debts. I have some people that are working for me. I need to pay them. Pay them on time. Pay your bills. There's that aspect of doing good that don't hold back when it's in your power or means to do it. But then sometimes that can include being charitable. And I know there are a lot of folks that can milk and try to build the system to get things, but there are folks who really need some help. No, there really are people who need some help. And if God has blessed you and someone comes along and says, hey, I haven't eaten. Can you help me out? Yeah, let's go eat. What do you like to eat? I like burgers. How about do it? And we can reflect the love of God in real ways to people. There's a joy with that. And we've been blessed to be a blessing. So don't hold out. Don't be like Ebenezer Scrooge. Bless somebody. And then avoid harm. Reject violence and accusations, verse 29 and 30. Notice that the wisdom of God takes us certainly with loving him with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, which is a lifelong journey. But this thing of loving our neighbor includes quite a number of areas where we need wisdom. And here's some right here, verse 29 and 30. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. There's a sense that we ought to check our motives and strive to do well. You literally may have a next door neighbor that you don't like. They may smoke funny cigarettes and do strange things. And you may come home and you're like, oh, there's crazy Bob next door. Or insane Charlie or whoever, you know. Or there's Sally coming up. Oh, she comes up and talks. I call them space invaders. They come up and, Charles, how you doing today? Just really up close. And it's like, and I'm thinking how to bring some Tic Tacs with them and just next time that there's, you know. I'm playing around here for a bit, but if we're not careful, we can act in ways that don't reflect Jesus and that don't lie. Isn't it good to know that our God loves us when we're unlovable? And when our spiritual breath is foul, and so, and literal too. All right, sorry about that. We're going to keep it going. But we need wisdom to reject those things, even in an age where it's very, very divisive and people are angry and yelling at folks. Reject the idea to act out in ways that don't reflect Jesus. God blesses the humble and curses the wicked. I won't go into great detail, but God knows those who are his, and those who are not, they must repent. The good news is that we have a Father in heaven who wants to see people come to repentance. But those who continue in their way, whether it be of deviousness or wickedness, evil doing, God knows, and he calls such as abominable. And that's no joke. The curse on the wicked is no joke. But God blesses the house and the dwelling of the righteous. And our righteousness is not in us, but in Christ Jesus. So do good. Don't withhold good from those in which it's due. Some concluding thoughts. Wisdom begins with fearing God. There you go. Thank you. It begins with a healthy, reverential awe of God. Beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's not a fear like as in one that's a fleeing fear or a slavish fear as if our God is some cruel overlord, but it's reverential awe. If we stood at the edge of the ocean and we saw a 100-foot tidal wave coming, we would be in awe of it, so much so that we would step back. God, who has all power and is inconsuming fire, he is to be treated with respect and with holiness. And that is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. Wow, he is all those things, and yet he is loving and merciful and compassionate. In fact, he says, I, the Lord of God, am compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He repeats that over and over. This same great God who revealed himself to the Israelites has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. And with that, we ought to bow in respect. And seeking his will is the wisest choice we can make. Trust God's plan, not human understanding. God's way is best. Live generously. Live justly. And then as a concluding thought, how can I honor God with my wealth, with my decisions, with my relationships? You may be going through a difficult time. God knows. You may work in an environment where you can't trust people as far as you can throw. Bible even has something to say about the flatterer, the man that flatters is trying to lay a net. And so you may have to practice discernment. What should I do in this environment where I don't know? How do I show God's love? Or maybe you may be in a difficult situation. I work with people who've experienced abuse. God forbid that that ever be named among us. The wisdom of God talks about one who speaks rashly like the thrusting of swords. And you may have grown up with that. And there are men that do that. There are some women who are like that too. Sorry, ladies, that it's better to be on a corner of a roof or be in a desert than to dwell with a contentious woman. So, fellas, you may have to make a man cave somewhere. Learn to play the harmonica, you know. Yeah. God's wisdom is available to us. So I hope what was shared was an encouragement, but just know that that wisdom ultimately is found in Jesus Christ. I pray for this church, grateful for y'all, grateful for Pastor Eugene, grateful for Pastor Ron, Kathy, and you. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this brief time in your word. Thank you for being our Father in heaven. Thank you that you who are high and indeed transcend all are also imminent. You're a Father that's near to us. You're near to the brokenhearted. Our joys, our pains, and thank you that through Jesus Christ and by the power of your Spirit, we have a relationship to abide with you every day. I ask a special blessing on Granada Hills Community Church. Thank you for GHCC. Bless them on this leg of the journey. Bless them on the journey ahead. And we thank you for all Christ Jesus' name and sake we pray. Amen.